Hey, this is Anthony Amen with Redefined Fitness. And if you are looking to build a solid fitness business and even a better life, then you need to be listening to Fitness Business Foundations with my good friend, Justin Hanover.
Welcome to the Fitness Business Foundations podcast. This show is focused on helping fitness business owners build a great business and an even better life. Join us each week to learn real tactics from marketing, sales, mindset, strategy, and leadership. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? This is your host of the Fitness Business Foundations podcast, Justin Hanover. And today's episode, I'm really excited to have on Anthony Amen from Redefined Fitness and sharing his story, like the struggles he's gone through, how he even came about in the fitness industry, which is a very unique situation. If he actually wasn't even into fitness growing up and suffered an injury that doctors kind of ruled him out, basically, and he was able to rehab himself back to good health, and which triggered him to want to start doing this for others. So we dive into that story, as well as the fact that he's been in business a year and has been able to go from zero to 90 clients, and how he was been able to do that is what we dive into in this episode, and some of the struggles that he's currently going through. So this is a great story. I know it's going to bring lots of value to you and your journey, and be able to take things from his experience and apply them to yours. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. All right. So this episode is brought to you by the Fitness Business Foundation's mentorship program. Are you a fitness business owner that wants to build an efficient and profitable business that actually adds to your lifestyle? How about a business that doesn't rely on paid ads to have quality long-term clients? Then my exclusive mentorship program could be your answer. I actually come to your facility, dive into your business, and I'm not just interested in pushing the next lead generation tactic. We actually instead will be diving into your finances, your system, your team, your dream life, and setting up the right talk triggers to make sure your ideal clients keep finding you. If this sounds like what you're about, then let's hop on a connection call and see if this is a good fit. Worst case, we get to know each other a little bit better. Best case, we start working together to build the business and life you want. Go ahead and check out my link. It's just fitnessbusinessfoundation.com/mentorship. I will also have the link in the show notes for you, so you're able to easily click that. So let's get your call booked, and I look forward to talking with you soon. Now, let's jump into the show. So Anthony, welcome to the show. I'm very excited to have you on today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
So obviously, we were discussing a little bit before this, but you're a newer fitness business owner. And I want you to, before we dive into the business side of things, let's start with just sharing a little bit about yourself. What's your personal journey? Like how you became the Anthony that we're talking with today.
Yeah, that's a good story. So started off when I was young, was never really into fitness. So I'm not one of those people that started off as an athlete. I was the opposite athlete. I ran a 15-minute mile and barely could get a pull-up. My experience brought me to college, where I was pursuing a psychology degree and meteorology. And I was playing a sport most people that aren't from Canada or upstate New York don't know. It's called broomball, which is, for those that don't know, basically hockey, except you wear sneakers on the ice and the ball's round. So imagine deck hockey, but on ice. Easiest way to describe it. Yeah, great sport. Highly recommend. Don't take the story the wrong way.
Yeah.
But I played a bunch of games, and one game I was playing, I had my friend and I, who see this story differently if you ask him. Regardless, he went to go slide tackle the ball away from me. I knew he hurt his ankle the day before, so I tried stepping around him. And in the process of trying to step around him, the back of my heel hit in front of me, and I fell backwards to the point where I actually cracked my head on the ice. Thank God I was wearing a helmet.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah. It's a story. Jeez. There was two games playing at once in this huge ice hockey ring, and it was so loud, everyone stopped.
Wow.
I didn't lose consciousness, but I didn't lose consciousness, and I ended up going to sit out for 10 minutes and then went back in and played, which I shouldn't have done.
The things we decide in the moment.
Yes. That was all adrenaline talking. But went in to play the game, and afterwards went back to my dorm room, was talking to some friends, went to go lay down, and after that I couldn't really talk anymore. I was kind of slurring my words really a lot, and my head just started pounding, and from that point I don't remember the next 3 months of my life. Wow. I was told that I just kind of sat in the dark and moaned. I ended up getting a concussion where it hits the back of the head, it's the occipital lobe, which controls eyesight and stuff. So I would be debilitated basically for months. I took to the point, even going a year forward, that I would actually get tension headaches from this, where my traps would get super tight and then it would trigger a migraine in my head and I wouldn't be able to get out of bed all day. So the doctor's prescriptions were, here's some muscle relaxers and here's some Percocet. Good luck.
Yeah. That's always a good recipe.
Yeah. I went to multiple physical therapists. I went to multiple orthopedic surgeons. My last hope was the top surgeon out here. He told me that he's a physician, not a magician. He can't help me.
Wow. That's kind of a blow. Like that was the last person you're going to?
Yeah, that was my last hope, to try to figure out what was going on. I had no range of motion. I couldn't move my neck at all. And I couldn't get my hands above my shoulders and was trying to touch above my head.
Jeez. So what were like your thoughts then going through when he told you that?
At that exact moment, it was extremely disheartening and depressing. It's hard to hear from somebody who's supposed to be an expert in their field telling you that, too bad, you're screwed.
Jeez. So obviously that wasn't the end of your story there. So like, what made you want to keep pushing forward then?
I didn't want to live like that. I didn't want to live in a situation where I pretty much had no control of my life and I was stuck staying out of activities that I wanted to participate in. So that's where I fell into fitness. Through complete and utter trial and error, I taught myself different types of stretches. I did a lot of research on everything. I taught myself different types of exercises to rehab muscles around it. And I just worked. I can't say it was perfect by any means. There were days I made it worse, but then there was days I made it better. And I just kept digging and learning and digging and learning to the point where I saw improvement in range of motion. I saw that the migraines started getting less. And from that point, I just loved it. I was addicted, as they would say.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
I keep telling everyone I cried when I was able to touch my hands above my head again for the first time in years.
That was
the best moment of my life right there.
Yeah, no, that's a huge triumph and victory. Because it's those little things that we take for granted, and once it's gone, it's like that's all you care about getting back.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get it unless you're there. That's the biggest way to put it. And so, from that point, I wanted to help other people. So I wanted to share my story with people. I wanted to show people that they shouldn't give up on things and that there is more to life. So that's where I fell into the fitness industry. After college, kind of bounced around different facilities, worked at every big box gym under the sun, taught myself the different business models of everything. And from there, went and opened up my own studio. And now I have a personal training studio over in Matteson, New York.
That is fantastic how you turned a huge negative into an amazing life-changing positive. So with that process of you like getting into like the fitness realm, were you completely self-taught or did you have anybody kind of mentoring you along the way too?
I was completely self-taught.
Wow. That's awesome. So like how did you keep your mindset into it?
A mix of a lot of stubbornness and knowing there's hope.
Sometimes that's all it takes is to get you through.
My grandfather was more or less my inspiration for it. He got contracted with polio at the age of 16. Oh, wow. It was before the vaccine came out and everything. And they told him back then, well, too bad, you're never going to be able to walk again. You might as well be in a wheelchair the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So him and his father, he told me, ended up working on different type of exercises and going against the conventional advice they were given, which was just cast it and leave it.
Yeah.
And from that point, he ended up doing everything he wanted in his life. He ran, he played sports. His right leg stopped growing at the age of 16, but it never, ever, ever slowed him down.
Wow. Man, you got resilient genes in you.
That's what it is, man. We're all Italian.
Okay. So that's definitely an awesome story. And I can see obviously how that would send you on the path of wanting to then give back and help people feel the same thing you felt. So now let's talk a little bit into like the business side of things. Before we jump into your own business, you give us a quick little recap of your experience with working for like the big box gyms, like why you decided to do that and what you took away from that experience.
Well, I have my parents to kind of thank for all that. They are small business owners themselves. They're in a real estate company. And my sister owns her own business as well. So I saw that there's more to it than just training and more to just helping people. If I wanted to do it, I knew I needed to learn. Same thing with my injury. I needed to teach myself different avenues. I knew that was the same thing with the business. So I used the big box gyms as a way to learn how to do things and how not to do things.
Yeah.
Where working at front desk at LA was a perfect place for me to start and get into it, to moving my way up to operations manager, to then going into sales, where I dove into as a sales associate in New York Sports Club, then to a local gym as a sales manager. And then from there, I moved into personal training because I didn't learn that side yet. Said the best for last. And then up to personal training sales, which I did, working at Retro Fitness.
Which is true. I mean, it's like the best is for last, because I mean, that does make sense in the hierarchy too of like how you actually have to run a thriving business. And at the end of the day, like we said before, when we were talking, a lot of fitness business owners, like they get into it because they have the passion for the fitness, and then they lead with that always. Mm-hmm. And they think that that's what's going to be the end all be all to making their business successful. And unfortunately it's not. You have to learn the side of business. And then if you don't learn that, then it doesn't matter how much you know on the training side, you're never going to be able to help anybody.
Exactly. And that's something I tell all my people I interview for jobs here. I make it very clear that, listen, you can have a million degrees, but if you don't know how to sell yourself, you're not going to get anywhere. And that's where I really spend most of my focus with my staff, is selling.
No, that's a very good point. And at least, yeah, it's selling. And like, I'm not, like, how do you address that with your staff? Like do you come at it from more of like helping them become more efficient communicators?
Yeah, communication is a big key. Like I was saying before, my parents own a real estate company. And with them, I actually dabbled in real estate for a few years, because for those that don't know that industry, it is all work for yourself. Get every client on your own. You end up working for free, because if someone doesn't buy a house from you, too bad.
Yeah.
So you really learn how to market and sell yourself through that industry. And that's what I used it for.
Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. So now, like, fast forwarding into you opening up your own facility now, before we like dive into like some of the meat of that, but, like, let's maybe share some like successes that you've had over this past year or so.
Yeah, lots of ups and downs. Obviously it's our trial first year that we just completed. Thank God it's been more ups than downs, but I got to be honest, things have been going way better than I thought they would be. My projection numbers are actually half of what I thought it was going to hit. I hit double it. So I'm very happy about that. I really have my staff to thank for it. We work almost every single day on pitching new avenues, trying to get more clients into the door, where it just becomes habitual. Every day we sit down, we talk, like, what are we doing today? How are we getting people in the door? Because just sitting in the gym isn't going to get you anywhere.
No. So what do you feel is, like, did you add different areas of income streams? Or, like, what was the difference between your projection and what you're actually hitting?
So I actually learned some really good advice from a young age, which most people have heard the expression, jack of all trades is the master of none. Hmm. And I've really taken that home. We are a personal training studio. That is 99.9% of our income. We fully rely on personal training. We do have small group training, which is a cap at 5 people, but that's it. We're personal training. Our sign has our name, Redefined Fitness, in small print, and then in big letters says personal training, because we want people to know that's what we do and you're coming here for that.
That's brilliant. I mean, that's very smart. And I like how, and obviously, I mean, unfortunately, like, the way that, like, the fitness industry is, like, it's almost like a race to the bottom with, like, who can charge the less and, like, service the most amount of people in a time frame. And, like, we seem like we've gone away from higher level service and actually getting people really good results. And yeah. I like that you're focusing on the higher end service, because, yeah, you're not going to deal with the volume of people, but you're going to deal with, you're going to get people actual high quality results. And then that will speak for itself as well for your business.
Yeah. And people, it makes life easy. Someone's walking into our door, they want personal training.
Yeah.
They don't have to walk in for a basic membership and then sell them on training. Yeah. They're coming here for it.
Yeah, that definitely makes it, I mean, it streamlines the whole process. And that goes down to, like, actually, last week I did a podcast on this, dialing in your offer. So your offer is your personal training. Like, so you're very specific on it. So it makes it easy for, one, the people to find you, and then you to service them, because there's no gray area. It's very like, this is what we do, this is how we do it, and that's it.
Exactly.
I feel like a lot of fitness businesses out there, like, are afraid to almost declare that. They're like, they feel like they have to offer everything and service everyone. And unfortunately, then that just, like you said, it makes it very confusing. And it's like, how do you know what to even offer that person then?
Exactly. I took it a step further, and we have a local Pure Bar place here in Club Pilates. So we refer each other people all the time. I don't see them as competition, because they're not. We do personal training. One does Pilates, one does bar. Totally different avenues. So why not work together with them?
Definitely. I think that's an awesome mindset. And more people need to, like, gain that mindset, because you're operating from an abundance mindset, not a scarcity mindset. And realistically, like, how many people are in your area and how many people would you need to run a successful business? Like, nowhere near, it would be a fraction of it. You know, and I think people forget that sometimes, that it's like, realistically, for, like I said, an average small private personal, a private facility, they say, if you're just doing private in a small group, 150 people is, you're having a thriving business.
Exactly.
You don't need a couple thousand.
We have 100 clients here. We gained that in 1 year. And our business is self-sufficient and already making money.
Damn. That's, do you feel like, did you have this all figured out when you first launched?
Yeah, I was very well aware this is the direction I wanted to take it. There was some, obviously, people, I'm going to be honest, everyone sits there and goes, oh, should I do a cheaper basic membership to get people in the door? That mind has crossed me 100 times.
Of course. Yeah.
And it came down to it where that realization actually, like, finally sunk in, where I'm like, wow, I actually want to raise the price of my basic membership. I don't want those clients here. They're just taking up space.
Yeah.
And what I did was, I offer all my training clients right off the bat, if you sign up for personal training, you get a free membership here. I'm adding my value into personal training by saying, hey, look, listen, you don't have to pay to come on your own. We're going to take care of you on the one-on-one session, and then you're going to have access to the facility the rest of the week.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense, because your value, you're putting the value in what is actually valuable, not the other way around.
Exactly, and it's all about adding value to your company. Like you said, you made a very good point. A lot of businesses take it as a price point game. Unfortunately, Planet Fitness has kind of made the industry that way by just trying to go cheaper and cheaper. But that's not what you as a business owner should want to be related to. You shouldn't want to try to compete with a Planet Fitness. You'll go out in a month. Instead, increase your price, have a higher value, and then show why you're worth it.
Yes.
Like, you're only going to get this here, end of story.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because then you said, like, you hit the nail on the head. Like, you're no longer a commodity then. Like, whereas Planet Fitness is a commodity. It's 10 bucks a month, whatever. I mean, like, and it's... And then also being real, like Planet Fitness, LA Fitness, all those types of places, they sell on the amenities and the fanciness of it. No small business like us is going to be able to compete. And we don't you don't have that type of budget or capital funding to be able to provide an amazing locker room with 20 showers and marble countertops. Like, it's just not going to happen. That's what they're competing on, but you should be competing on, like you said, the value that you're bringing, the higher level service, the actual, the results driven business, not
exactly. Exactly. We're 1800 square feet to put in perspective for people. So we're not a big facility at all. We keep it private to keep it like that on purpose. So what we can offer to our clients is we're going to get to know you personally. We're going to know what you do for a living. We're going to know who your family is. And we do constant events where we just try to bring all of our clients together to make it more like a family event. So we'll do fundraisers all the time. We'll have parties here and just trying to keep it more that way, so people feel like they're a part of something bigger than themselves. And that's where the big box gyms lose themselves. And that's where you can make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big box gyms will definitely never be able to compete in that realm. And you can see they've tried and dabbled in it, but it never takes on. So obviously, like, to keep in the 800 square foot space, I'd imagine that your overhead is pretty good.
Well, I also live in Long Island.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, that's a good point.
But
it could be worse than if you were had ideas to going bigger.
Yeah, exactly. This one bigger would be way worse. Rent here is crazy.
Damn. Do you happen to know what the average price per square foot is there?
Yeah, it's around 25 to 30.
Wow.
Damn. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No, that's that's very pricey. So you want to make sure again, another reason why you don't want to charge low prices. You want to be maximizing your square feet.
Yeah, exactly. No. If I charge $10 a month memberships, I need to sell, 500 of them just right off the bat just to break even on rent, yet alone payroll.
Yeah. No, that's ridiculous. How many people do you have on your team?
Right now, we have 7 trainers and 7 front desk staff.
Awesome. Are they all part-time, full-time?
So our front desk staff is all part-time, and then our trainers are all independent contractors.
Okay.
But it's a little different than your traditional independent contractors. I don't have them pay rent space or anything like that. We are one team through and through, end of story. The gym charges the rates. The trainer gets a percentage of the rate that the gym charges. So I paid them out on it.
Okay. Yeah, so it's like a performance-based pay too.
Exactly. Where you get more of a percentage the more sessions you do, or so incentivize them working harder and going above and beyond. That's what I really expect from my team, is to do that, to go above and beyond all the time. I'm in 3 Chamber of Commerce's doing events there. I run another one, and then I'm bouncing around doing that and just local community events. So I need them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They're obviously, like, you have the right team members and they're extremely invaluable assets. If you have the wrong team members, then obviously it's just an expense.
Exactly. Well, that's for the benefit of the independent contractor comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously you've had some really good successes and gone past what you've expected this first year. What about now the flip side of that? What are some challenges that you had to overcome that you weren't expecting or maybe were expecting, but it came at you faster than you expected?
Biggest challenge was in the beginning, which I'm sure a lot of people are experienced opening a company, is people knowing who you are. We are in a shopping center with 10 other stores, and there were employees that worked at the stores that didn't know we existed for 3 months. Like, you would expect people to say, hey, look, I saw a sign for a gym, but they had no idea we were even in their shopping center. Like, what gym?
You're not on the radar at all.
Exactly, but that helped. I mean, that realization when it sunk in, which is where that first 3 months hit home. It's like people really don't know who we are. So how can we expect to get clients and move on if just by putting a sign up and hoping for the best? That made us get out and go, where a great term I learned from real estate is don't be a secret agent.
Yeah. That's a good, I like that.
Yeah, you don't want to pretend you're James Bond and hide it from everybody. Instead, you want every single person who you know, family, friends, relatives, acquaintance, whoever it is, hey, this is what I do for a living. And they might not come to you, but I bet you they know some people that would.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's all, it's getting on someone's radar, because I mean, now, like, it takes, I think it's close to like up to like 20 times someone seeing something over and over and over again before they decide to even take action. And that doesn't even mean call you or come to you. That just may mean maybe click on something to look at it a little bit more. So you have to keep screaming it from the rooftop, like, and keep putting yourself out there in front of people. Because like you said, like doing it once or twice isn't going to cut it. Like you have to, and that's where I think some people have that fear of thinking that they're going to annoy people. But you just obviously kind of prove it. Like, people don't pay attention. They have no idea what's going on around them. So it's like you have to keep putting it out there until you get into their like kind of in their inner circle.
I'm actually going to break into that, exactly what you said about being annoyed. I highly recommend this great book I just finished. It was called Sell or Be Sold by Grant Cardone.
Yep.
That book is amazing. And that it pitched into that philosophy, which was basically an eye opener to me, where how do we as trainers and fitness owners feel about what we sell? So how you think about it is, if I was a consumer coming in, would I want to come to your place? And most people would be like, yeah, you know, but how sold are you on what you do works? Because if you're 100% sold on that idea that I know what I'm doing here is helping people, then why would I be afraid to go tell people about what I do? I know it's good for them. I know everyone is going to succeed from doing training. I know that. I saw myself do it, and I know there's hope for every individual. So why not tell everyone and be like, hey, look, listen, I'm coming to you with a friend. This is something you should be doing. If you can't get your own mother or father or spouse to come do personal training, then you're not sold on it. Why wouldn't you want your family members and the people closest to you in your inner circle come to you if you're not sold on what you actually do? So that's something people really need to take a step back and think about.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you hit that and brought that up, because that is a very real thing. Because I mean, look how quick somebody is to like your favorite restaurant that you absolutely love, and you just want to tell everybody about it. But then when it comes to like your own business, it's like you can't do it. Like the way you explain it sounds boring, and you don't have any excitement behind it. And like Grant Cardone is definitely a good representation of that. I mean, he definitely is on the end of like hardcore closer, but he has the energy and the passion behind what he's doing, and you feel that with him, and like he doesn't care, like he's going to keep pushing it. So it's that's I mean, that's how you have to be with your business. Again, obviously you're not looking to be a jerk about it, but you have to have that passion. And in that, and then within that passion, you have to keep saying it. You have to be willing to keep saying it and keep putting it out there in front of people, because you have to look at it from the perspective of like, you're doing someone a disservice by not bringing it up.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay. So any other challenges that you've gone through?
Yeah. Some price point challenges would be the other thing, which I guess a lot of people struggle with, like where to put how much training should be for the service you're offering.
Yeah.
And not being afraid to raise your prices. Those are the two biggest challenges I think we faced a lot, is where do we put the value on our training? And that's something I really had to do a lot of research, which was beneficial for me to work at the studios. I knew what everyone else was charging. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, if I could sit somewhere in the middle range and then put more value onto it, there you go, I'm the best in the industry. And it took me for the end of my first year where I actually raised my prices, because I needed to make a little more. You know, rent goes up every year.
Yeah. So, yep, you can count on that. Rent and taxes.
Yeah, rent, taxes. Long Island, the minimum wage goes up a dollar every year at this point. So if I'm not covering my overhead by keeping the same prices, then I'm going to go out and I can't offer this service to people. So I needed to compensate with that by raising my prices to make sure that I can be around.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you find that at that time where you decided to raise your rates, your confidence has also increased too?
Absolutely. I want to raise them again, but it's too soon.
Yeah. I really want to hit on that a little bit more too, because I think a lot of people really are afraid, like deeply afraid to do this, because they like fear that like everyone's going to hit the streets running away from them. How did you handle explaining the rate increase, and what was the reaction like?
So I did it a little differently. I know some people say raise it across the board. I kept all my current members that were on contracts the same rate. I didn't raise anyone that continually comes here. I raised it for new people signing up. And okay, what that ended up doing, which was something I kind of thought about, which ended up helping, where current members that might have been on the fence about leaving don't want to leave anymore because they know they're going to re-sign up with higher rates.
No, and that's something good to plaster that in front of them. Like, hey, you got a good rate right now. Like, this isn't going to be the case if you leave. I mean, so that is another accountability trigger, if you say.
Exactly. And if people would say, well, have you been getting people walking through the door? Same, if not better. Because we're still offering great value for our service. Another thing which I kind of learned from working at some of the gyms, if anyone's ever worked at LA, they know they're very hidden and secret about the prices, and they're always running a sale every day of the year. I swear one manager told me once, it's a snowflake, so it's a snowflake sale, and she was posting about it.
Jeez.
Of course. I put my prices on my website. So every person walking through our door knows how much it costs to come here. There are zero surprises. I don't haggle with people. I don't offer special discounts just because they decided to sign up day A, B, or C. The price is the price. And that made selling 2 million times easier.
Yeah. No, that's very true. I mean, like no matter which way you go about it, there's a plus and a negative. But I definitely agree in the sense that it alleviates, like, you really shouldn't have any objections at that point, because I mean, they know about you, they know about your business, they know what you guys offer there, they know what your price is. And if they're walking in the door, I mean, you'd have to do something pretty severely dumb to screw it up.
I mean, yeah. On top of that, people get afraid, well, my competitors are going to now know my prices. Yeah. I don't care if my competitors know my prices. They don't offer what I offer.
Yeah.
End of the day, if someone is looking and they don't know anything about personal training, they're looking for the cheapest price. Like, we shop at anything. If I want the absolute cheapest, I don't know nothing. But let's say their friend says, oh, you know, at Redefine, they really helped me with my shoulder injury. I feel a lot better. They're going to now go and spend the extra money on training and be grateful they know what they're getting into off the bat.
Absolutely.
And they're going to appreciate that and reciprocate that and now refer more people to you. Because if how honest and open you are to all your members, they like being feeling like they're a part of something bigger than themselves. And that's really something you have to drive home with your members is, hey, help us out. Can you help us get referrals? We do a brand ambassador program, which is a beauty in and of itself. We have members. They have to have done 30 training sessions. They can then apply to become a brand ambassador, which I don't pay them. But what they do for me is they have to post on social media once a week about what we do. They have to tell 10 friends in a month about what we do. And then in return, I give them a free protein bar a week and then a free class a week. It barely costs me anything, but now I have people that aren't employees here posting about us.
Yeah.
And you're more likely going to listen to someone who doesn't work at a gym than someone who does.
No, that's fantastic. And it's a proven, I mean, that's what like Lululemon does, that same exact tactic. And it
works.
They built a very big business on doing that exact thing. So did you start that right from the beginning?
About 3 months in.
3 months in, yeah. Okay. No, that's awesome. So thank you for sharing, obviously, some of your wins and then and challenges that you've gone through in the past year. Now, what are your kind of like moving towards closing? Like, what are your goals now for like finishing out the rest of this year? Like, what are you looking to? Are you planning on adding anything new, or are you doubling down? Like, what's your good focus going to be on?
So the reason I called my gym Redefine Fitness is because personally I'm trying to change the way the fitness industry works and to turn it more into preventative medicine. Mm. So that's where I'm going to be digging home into, is trying to get us more involved in the medical field, where we have post-rehab programs where people coming out of physical therapy can now continue that experience working with us to try to improve, because insurance companies kind of cut people out of physical therapy before they're done and ready. So now they can come here and kind of continue that same service to getting 100% better and beyond. On top of that, I would really love to branch into building more of a bigger facility with a lot more into it. So my 5-year plan is to have one facility where you can have a membership to, and you get a personal trainer, you get an acupuncturist, you get a chiropractor, you get a registered dietitian, all under one umbrella, paid for by one singular membership.
Wow.
So this is the first sector of it, and then I'm going to branch out to the bigger sectors.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That would definitely be a disruptor there, because I don't think anything exists like that.
No, there really isn't.
Are you looking to, like, work with insurance companies?
I would love to. The biggest problem I have in the state of New York, for those that don't know it, we don't have licensing for personal trainers. So when I go to these doctors and physical therapists, they go, well, who are you? Mm. How do I know what you're doing is right? I require all my trainers to have certain certs. I don't take run-of-the-mill certs because I don't want my members getting injured.
Yeah.
So we're only accepting NASM, ACSM, ACE, the ones that I know you can't just submit a test online and pay for it, and then congratulations, you're a trainer.
Yeah. Yep. The weekend cert.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I have a very stringent interview process where we do a sit-down meeting and then a practical. But that's the biggest struggle I'm facing right now, is trying to get them to take me seriously. Luckily, I have partnered with a registered dietitian and a chiropractor already. So we set up our own referral program and wellness program together, where now somebody can buy a membership through us and they can go see them. It's not in my place, but they are out on their own, so they can go see them as a part of that program with all three of us working together now on someone's program instead of just individual by ourselves.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you want to get something done, there's more than one way to do it. And obviously, if legalities and stuff like that don't allow it, then you've got to be creative and find another solution. So that's fantastic. And I like the direction.
Exactly.
So obviously, thank you again, Anthony, for for coming on the show today, like, and being open with us and sharing your experiences, your journey, again, like your wins and some challenges that you've gone through. I think we really hit on some amazing topics that I hope the listeners like kind of replay this again and take notes, because again, it's knowledge is great, but applied knowledge is what matters. So you have to actually put into action what you're learning. And Anthony definitely shared some amazing, amazing insight into having getting a successful business going. You know, I mean, and you did that in a year. So that's fantastic. So thank you again for coming on the show and taking your time with our listeners.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. If anyone ever wants to reach out to me on social media, Facebook, phone, whatever, I'd be happy to share some more pointers with people.
Absolutely. And we'll have your links in the show notes as well, so anybody can easily find you and connect with you on social media.
Perfect.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to today's episode.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you do.
Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss our next episode packed with action steps to build your dream life and business. Keep living with purpose.